This is CliffCentral.com.
He was gone, but only for a few hours. And now, he is back.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Get ready for a brand new episode.
Are you ready?
The O'Neill Africa Experience. Let's go. The O'Neill Africa Experience. The home of African talent.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the O'Neill Africa Experience.
I can't believe that it's Freaky Friday. It's Freaky Friday. It's Freaky Friday. It's Freaky Friday. It's Freaky. It's Freaky Friday.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the O'Neill Africa Experience.
Time on platinum, we hear them calling.
We
hear them calling.
Come on. Oh, yeah. Come on.
It's a brand new one. This is a change of pace for us, right?
Dude, what a track. Listen, my first comment.
Yeah.
Stone Boy goes in.
Really?
Stone Boy is all up in there.
I don't think I've formed my opinion as yet, but I know the song is fire.
Dude, it's got so much energy. And, you know, I'm feeling what Stone Boy is doing more than anything from first listen.
Yeah. Now, obviously, you've worked with the guy. So, for you, it's a thing of familiarity.
Nah, dude. It's just that, who's that guy? Who's that guy? And I just so happened to recognize the voice. That is Stone Boy.
It's a brand new one. It's an exclusive, as a matter of fact. So, today, we actually cross over live to the U.S., we chat with Morgan Heritage. Do you know anything about Morgan Heritage?
Oh, yeah, they're absolute legends.
Well, you're about to find out if you have no idea who they are. These gentlemen came together in 94. Now, for those who may not be familiar with Morgan Heritage, Morgan Heritage is a reggae band comprising members Denroy Morgan, Peter Morgan, Una Morgan, Gramps Morgan, Luke Morgan, and Mojo, who I believe is holding on the line right now. We're going to be talking to him in just under a minute. Now, in two decades, they've had a number of successful albums. Well, they are back with a brand new single, and this single features Diamond Platnumz as well as your boy?
Stone Boy.
Stone Boy. And the single is called Africa Jamaica. That's the song we just played for you. Let's see if Mojo is holding on the line as we speak. Mojo, how you doing, brother?
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Yeah, wonderful. What time is it where you are?
It's 10 after 8 in the morning.
Which part of the U.S. are you at the moment?
I'm in Florida talking to you.
Nice one. Where's the rest of the band?
Peter is resting. Gramps is resting. They are doing fine. Just a correction. My father is Denroy Morgan. He's not in the group Morgan Heritage. So for all the listeners in South Africa right now listening to East Central, Morgan Heritage are children of Denroy Morgan.
Oh, interesting. And he was in the music business as well, right?
He had a very massive, successful hit record in the early 80s. A few of them, actually.
Yeah.
And was the first Jamaican artist signed to a major record label, to RCA. First Jamaican artist to be played on BET back in the day when they just started in the mid-80s. So, He was the first for a few of those things, and He passed on the legacy to us, his children. My sister Yuna fell ill leading up to our first Grammy win in 2016. And for our album Strictly Roots. And then, you know, since then she's been getting better. And she's getting back doing some solo music, you know, just feeling the vibe, you know what I mean, as she focuses on her health. And our brother Luke is taking time away from touring, focusing on the music business, managing a few artists. So it's Peter, Gramps, and myself that's the current active members of Maagan Heritage.
Nice. Now, I wanted to just find out from you. So did your father have anything to do with you gentlemen coming together?
Yeah, he saw the talent in us, our mothers, and him saw the talent in us, and he put us together. We would go to New York because we were born in Brooklyn, New York, and we got our education in Springfield, Massachusetts. Our grandmother, when she migrated to America behind our dad, she was like, "This is no place to raise a family, Denroy. You need to bring them over here to this nice little suburb here,
yeah,
with all these white people," which was a much cleaner environment, no street influence, just straight suburban America back in the 70s when some of us weren't even born.
Wonderful.
But,
I know. I was going to say, I know,
yeah,
you guys.
We would go to Brooklyn on the weekends and get musical tutelage from his band members. He was one of the first bands in New York to play original reggae music. So they would teach us, you know, what they know, and here we are today. We got lessons from like Thelonious Monk's son. The great Thelonious Monk, the jazz pianist. So Thelonious Monk Jr. was one of our mentors. Whitney Houston's cousin, when we were signed to MCA Records, was our vocal coach. So there's a lot of history into what makes Maagan Heritage who we are today.
Wonderful. Let's just zoom in on the brand new single, Africa Jamaica. Tell me about the title before we delve into it.
Africa Jamaica is a cultural exchange, and we had to put two of Africa's best on it. Two guys that really have a stronghold on their countries. You know, no disrespect to people like Wizkid and Yemi Alade and Fatou Rankin and Sauti Sol.
Yeah.
But when you go to Ghana, you know that's Stone Boy's country. When you go to Tanzania, you know that's Diamond's country. So they kind of have a countries on their back. And being that they're from two different parts of Africa, they represent the continent on a whole.
Yes.
And Jamaica, we represent Jamaica. And when you see the video, you know, you feel the energy of the music. It's just showing you that all of the vibes that you feel from Jamaica, the culture, the food, the dancing, the root of it is in Africa. That's why we call the song Africa Jamaica. And in the video, you see it. It looks like a dancehall video filmed in Jamaica, but it was actually filmed in Ghana with a few scenes filmed in Cape Verde.
Yeah. Are we going to be seeing a lot more collabos with African artists?
Definitely. 100%. There's a South African artist. I think his name is Baj or Dab. Dab.
Okay. Have you guys done something together,
or to work with.
Or it's still in the works? You haven't done the collab yet?
We haven't met anyone from South Africa yet, but we know of a few. I mean, we grew up on the legends, Lady Blacksmith Mombazo.
Yeah.
That we love what they did on that Graceland album with Paul Simon till this day. Shaka Zulu is one of my idols. Like, he was a military genius. I still watch his movies today.
Listen, bro, thank you very much for creating the time to speak to us, and we would love to host you next time you're here in the continent. If you're looking for more collabos, we'll talk off air, and then yeah, we can make some of them happen.
Definitely. I mean, you know the team, you know how to reach us, so let's make it happen, man. For us, this new album is about unification, you know, between the children of the diaspora and the children at home. So it's very important for us to create this connection, to bridge the gap between the Africans born in the West and the Africans born at home.
Much love to you, Mojo.
Musical exchange.
All right, shout out to all the members of the band. Much love. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Morgan Heritage, make sure you look them up. They've got a brand new single out. We just played it. It's called Africa Jamaica. It features Diamond Platinums from Tanzania as well as Stone Boy from Ghana. We are coming back. Stay with us.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the O'Neal Africa Experience. Welcome back. Welcome back to the O'Neal Africa Experience.
It's that time of the day. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the O'Neal Africa Experience.
O'Neal Africa Experience.
All right, welcome back. We are continuing with the show. It's myself and Mr. 37 MPH.
Oh yes,
who's got guns out?
Come on, man. Listen, look at yourself. Have you seen yourself? It's
no,
almost like there was like a memo we're reading.
No,
from.
Let's
like,
not do this. The thing is, I talk about the way you look, but you don't talk about how I look. Like that's just.
What is this? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's like we read from the same memo.
Okay.
For those watching or the ones that are listening that can't see what we're looking like right now, we're wearing a similar style T-shirt, but just different colors.
Okay.
And definitely you can see gains are happening.
This is definitely manly. I just want to throw that out there. This is definitely as masculine as it can possibly get. Look, I'm very excited about our next guest.
Oh, yeah.
The first time I came across this man's work was on a single he did with Duke Sangangam. I knew he was special then, but it wasn't until I sat down with him that I got a full scope of his footprint, as well as the vastness of his talent. He continues to do phenomenal work in the live space, in the live performance space. In fact, I think he is one of the few SA artists that enjoy the international stage quietly. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend, who is wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
Oh yeah, he is such an OG superstar.
Meksoba.
Welcome.
What up, brother? How you doing? Yeah, just grab any one of the mics.
Oh yeah.
There you are.
Le Grand.
Meksoba, ladies and gentlemen. Do you know how long I've been trying to get this man in studio?
Yeah, no,
he's supposed to be my friend. Beyond that, do you know how long we've been trying to do a drink?
Oh yeah?
Ish. Yeah, ne.
Why are you treating me like a stepchild, dog? Like I'm
dude,
always
you
trying to
busy.
No, you're too busy for us, bro. You're international.
No.
You're okay, like on another level.
Let's just all admit we're all busy.
No, you have been busy. You have been busy. Have I been touring Europe? No. This
okay,
man
yeah, okay,
is
yeah, got me.
We can't take you down. Look, there's obviously a strategy to you and the work that you do. I can never understand. All I know is that this man is not putting out albums, but this man is touring.
It's busy.
Yeah, man.
How? Please give us the recipe.
What I discovered is that out there in other territories, right, the industry is not only driven by radio airplay for you to get gigs. There's actually a live music part of the industry, like a proper living. Where you don't even know these artists, you've never seen them, but you just walk into a bar and you have like five amazing bands, you know. So I discovered that space, and it's a space that I love. The one thing that I really love doing is performing live. So it has helped me also to just get to know the world better and maybe help me prepare for the next project that I'll do. Yeah,
because nothing beats a performing live. You know what
exactly,
I mean?
Bro.
And I mean,
exactly.
it's a good point that you make. You know, South Africa, as much as we're very deeply grounded in music, we've got the musical education and everything that's going on. We don't have enough venues, and it's a
we
good
don't,
point
bro.
That
we
you
don't.
Know, yeah.
I mean, Joburg alone. I'm sure Joburg takes care of 90% of the creatives of this country.
Gotcha.
But we have. I can count less than 10 venues that are actually active. I'm not talking about venues where you need to go book it. I'm talking about a venue where on a Tuesday you want to walk in and listen to live music. We still don't have that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So let's talk about what you've been up to recently. Obviously, we covered the fact that you are continuously touring.
Yeah.
What have you been up to? Anything special that you've been working on?
A few nice little things here and there. Let me start here. I've been working on a project that's called Open World. It's only going to come out next year.
Okay.
It's a project that is going to be divided into about four categories, like a documentary. I'm going to be going around doing talks and just pretty much research, you know, on, and then I'll tell you what it is about. And then there's an album that's going to be a part of this project. This project is a project where I'm gonna be going around different, wherever I can reach around the world, speaking to people and getting people's experiences on how they are accepted culturally, you know, and bringing together our cultural diversity, using that to make the actual final product of the music. So basically bringing out the positivity in our diversity, whatever brings us together as human beings, you know. There's people that I meet in Austria, and I mean, there's this girl, she's an amazing classical musician, right? She was doing her master's in Vienna, and she's from Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
And she got a scholarship to go to London, and then in London something took her to Vienna, and now she has struggles with English. She was trying to cope with English here. Now she must go to Vienna, to Austria, to go handle German. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So those kinds of things, like there are people. There's another girl, I'm hoping she's gonna come down to the country soon. Her name is Shishani. She's from Namibia, based in the Netherlands, you know, and she pushes that sound, yase Namibia,
mm-hmm.
that side, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So those are the kinds of people that I'm engaging with, and that I'm gonna end up doing some of the collaborations on the album with, you know, yeah.
How does it work for you? You know, they say you're only as good as your team. You obviously have a great team. Look, explain it to me as though I'm a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
Because what I want to understand is there are so many artists who are all over the place. They're everywhere in terms of their positioning. They position themselves in such a way that they're very visible.
Yeah.
But we don't see them doing the same things. Is it because you've got representation in these countries, or do you have representation here? What is the method? What's the metric that
honest,
you're using?
To be honest, like I could lie and say, you know, get a great what, you know. In my case, as you know, I've never been signed to any label.
Yes.
You know. So for me, the hunger and the need to keep pushing, so that I don't find myself crying foul that I don't have work or whatever. So it has always just pushed me to the next level. I knew when I wasn't cracking it as much as I would have loved to here at home, that if I don't watch, this thing is going to lead me to quitting music.
Yes.
So let me try find other avenues. Then I started producing my own shows, you know. And then I started... So what I would do is bring in... I started working with people ad hoc, on ad hoc stuff, you know. And currently, as it is, I do have a team, but it's not a team that you'll find, I say, okay, a phone call away. Mamang will come to you, you know what I mean? If I have that project, I know who to get in touch with.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing as overseas. I started going to these conferences. If you remember, I told you I was doing conferences for like 2 years, you know, and everyone was like, what are you doing, you know? But all I was doing there was just getting to know the actual role players within the industry, you know,
mm-hmm.
Within the global space, you know, and through... Over the years then, I've started setting up, have a team in London, like two people that I work with in the UK. There's people that handle Germany and Paris for me, that basically handle the European space. And I have another team handling US and Asia for me, you know. So it's about, I think it boils back down to, what do you want to do? You know, I know that I don't want to be the guy that's all over the parties. Fortunately, during my hectic stay within hip hop, I did all the partying that we could do, you know. And when you are young, you forget that you're gonna grow, you know. And I think once I realized that, hey man, I'm growing. I think I was turning 30, then I was like, okay, maybe it's about time that I start
turning it down a bit.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm gonna ask you I'm gonna put you on the spot.
You always do.
Do you think, actually, I don't know what I'm talking about. Do you think artists are crybabies?
Creatives in general are emotional people, are very emotional beings, you know. Maybe the sentiment that one would get that artists are crybabies comes from this drastic change. Remember, we come from an era where artists were always guarded. They are assigned to a label that gives them a manager, a what. When they don't have money to buy bread, they can just call Vusileo, Mavsana, I don't have any. Mavsana will bring you 200 rands just for you to get by, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, it's crunch time for everybody to do it themselves. It's indie time. Most people have gone indie.
Yeah.
Even the ones that are in, even labels don't have the kind of budget they used to have to babysit you, you know what I mean? So I think that's why it's a shocker to most creatives that I must now, so I can't sleep until 9 anymore, you know, that having to learn to diversify your income streams, which is what a lot of people still haven't gotten to, you know, because I believe that as an artist, you are a creative. God has given you a talent to be a creative somebody. So why don't you become creative when it comes to handling your life? Because you can do that, you know. You're not just a singer, you know. You are given a voice. The same way you are able to direct that voice, then apply the same stuff onto your life. I mean, I'm a voiceover artist. Now I've gotten into producing adverts and writing adverts because I'm a writer, you know. So if I want to enjoy what I'm hearing on the radio when the adverts are playing, you know. So I would then contribute and do that, and that's an extra income stream for me, you know.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
That is so amazing. So back to the thing that you mentioned earlier about the Namibian girl bringing the cultural music. So how important is that journey for you? In terms of the sets that you're performing outside the country, I've never heard your repertoire outside of the country.
Yeah.
Are you? What's your role in preserving the indigenous?
You know, I've been fortunate in that. Mostly the same songs that are appreciated here at home are also appreciated in the same way that side, you know. And I remember this other dude was performing at some function in Barcelona, and I thought, okay, this room is just full of white people, and you know, and I fell under pressure, I won't lie. And I started, the first two songs were English songs, you know, and then we took a break. And this dude came to me, he's like, hey man, I was ready for some African stuff, you know. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm gonna give you African. He's like, no, don't be shy, just give us you. That's why we all came in numbers, because we know there's a dude from South Africa, you know. Ever since that day, I stopped trying to compromise and trying to look or sound like I belong within those spaces. It's okay to look like the thorn, Jay, amongst roses, you know, because that's what makes you stand out, you know. So, your question.
Sure. No. So, basically,
You know what my thing is, actually, more than language,
yeah,
it's the messaging that I try to pass all the time, you know. Right now, as the world, we are in big gag.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know, half of us don't know whether we're coming or going, because we've been bombarded now with the new artificial intelligence life.
Gotcha.
Which is now has gotten us, you know.
Yeah.
We feel the need to look fresh all the time. We feel the need to look like we got this, you know. And on the other side, there's the reality when you go to your own spot, or when you go back home and you realize, well, ish, home is not as cool, and then you start treating your own people with resentment, you know. So what I try to do is I try to speak as positive, because I use the same music to inspire myself, you know, to stop myself from thinking negative about me, you know. I won't lie, man, sometimes it eats me up that I don't get gigs here at home, you know. It really chows me, but I have a choice to either stay and sit at home and sit in bed and wait for somebody to book me, which is likely not going to happen, or I go and hoop up people that own venues and whatever, and then we partner and do work. Yeah, that's the same thing I apply actually overseas as well. It's not like I've got some guy that's ready there with the telephone just to make bookings for me.
Yeah.
All I do is, if I know that I'm gonna be in the east of Europe for 2 weeks, maybe I've got one or two bookings there, I start then researching what else is around there. You know what I mean? If it's an artist that I can speak to, sometimes it's not even just about performing. You just meet the people there, get to understand what's up. You never know what could come out of it.
Do you think the music business, particularly here in South Africa, yeah, do you think guys are having the right conversation?
No, we're not. We have half the right conversations every time we have a death.
Yeah.
At most, we are trying to look like we're okay.
Yeah.
At most, we are trying to look like ditsibinki, you know, like we know it all, or you know, and that's what I think is stalling part of our progress. Yeah. You know, honestly speaking, we don't have enough honest conversations with each other.
Yeah, yeah. That's one thing myself and this man, we try and do now and then. Yeah. I give him a call and I start ranting.
Yeah, man.
He gave me a call this morning and started ranting. Because yeah, I think we all need some kind of outlet. But I think the one thing that is becoming very obvious is that it's not just limited to men.
Yeah.
But in general, I feel like we've just reached a point where we're like crabs in a bucket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That adage. Nobody is talking. We're talking, but we're talking past one another.
Yeah.
We are speaking, but we're not communicating. And it seems like that's what's happening. But you're right. You rightly pointed out that something, tragedy has to strike in order for there to be some level of, I don't know, movement.
Yeah.
And then thereafter, it completely dies down again. We get back into our little cocoons, yeah, into our little protective shells.
Yeah, I mean, a few days ago, I had a chat with some colleagues,
yeah,
you know, and it was in a setting where I just asked, you know, fellow producers, like, dude, yeah, are you okay? You're looking, yeah, a little thin.
Yeah.
How are you surviving? And, yeah, and you know, and because of the nature of where we're at, you know, he was in a space to open up and say, listen, okay, I'm going through some stuff. Yeah. It's been the yeah, toughest year. Yeah. I haven't had a check come in months. Yeah. I was like, why don't you say so? You yeah, know, because most times people are pretending to be okay. Yeah. And that's that. The conversation really began there. You know, it was revealed that most times when even people, when they're not abako grand, they're going to pretend. And yeah, whenever they are cool, you're going to see them.
Yes.
And whenever they are not cool, they're absent from your yes, life. Like, they'll be absent for two,
it's
3 months.
Yeah.
There's no talk. Yeah. There's no, they don't see yeah, you when you're down,
yeah,
you know, and you only appear when you seemingly okay.
Right. Yeah.
Or if, you know, just for appearance sake, you're going to come out and be like, okay, cool, let me make an appearance and make yeah, look like I'm okay.
And it's, you know, I feel like this thing, I don't know, it to me, it's a recent thing, to be honest, you know. Maybe it's because of the years that I've spent within our industry, but oh, I'll say back in the day, like 10 years ago, 10, 15
oh,
years
yeah,
ago,
yeah,
we used to hang out together.
Yeah. Mm.
We used to hang out. We don't hang out anymore.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
We meet at events. We don't hang out. We don't call each other, hey man, let's go grab a beer. Like me yeah, and you've been trying to have
yeah,
a beer for a while.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's through constant and consistent interaction.
Yeah,
with
somebody
each
has
other,
to make the first move.
I will notice something like, Paul, something's wrong here. You know what I mean? Mm. Then I will ask. And another thing is now, as he was mentioning, that everyone just wants to seem like they're cool, you know? And here's the truth, Vito. The country is in a bad state economically.
No, the world is in a bad state.
Exactly.
Yeah. Economically.
And you can't expect we can't expect you to be doing okay,
yeah,
whereas we know the rest of the world is not okay.
Yeah.
So it's fine to say, hey, in fact, you know what? think I'm losing my house.
But that's the other thing. Let me just play devil's advocate for a minute. Yeah. Look, I think the elephant in the room is that, you know, the tragedy with the death of WHP is the reason why I think we're in the mood that we're in at the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard both of you what you were saying, that we don't speak enough.
Yeah.
Let's take his case. The man spoke out.
Yeah.
There's clear evidence. The man spoke out. There's audio files everywhere. Yeah. He has come across a lot of industry leaders.
Yeah.
He had spoken on public platforms, including the same platform. He talked about, you know, it's so surreal when you hear about what happened to him and you're listening to the interview he did with Gareth. Detailing exactly what seems to have happened.
Yeah.
Obviously, we don't know the full details as yet. But I think, look, it doesn't take a genius to figure out what really happened. He outlined what he was going to do.
Yeah.
Because then that says a lot more about us than it does him.
Yeah.
Did we choose to not pay attention? Or we just don't know what to do when that situation happens?
You know, the thing about I'm not commenting on exactly what happened with WHP, but this is something that I've just been reading recently. I came across a post that went in the lines of depression is a mental illness, and no amount of consolation conversation will change the thing that's eating up the person that's depressed.
Yeah.
If they're being eaten, it's happening and it's happening, it's happening. You can be awarded tons of money or your life could be okay in the regards. It's not only a financial thing. You could be getting all the things that you needing to get, the conversation, the people around you. But if the actual disease is stronger than your willpower, then you're going to succumb to it.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. The common mistake is that we think depression somehow has a lot more to do with material.
Absence
of material gain in your life.
Exactly.
And somebody also said something interesting and said, why do we assume that everybody who commits suicide is depressed? That's another thing to consider. Because it's, and that's what happens today. I suppose it's the advent of social media where we have so much information, but we're so under-researched.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We're so under-researched, yet we have so much information at our disposal.
Digest, man.
Now the assumption going forward, the narrative is that, somebody has committed suicide. Oh, they were depressed. That's the narrative we're running with at the moment. So I just feel like human beings, we're always looking for something to blame. If we can find something or someone to blame, then we've created a dichotomy between us and the actual problem, and fine, we don't have to deal with it now.
So that we don't have to deal with it.
Which then, by default, we find ourselves in this repressive state.
Yeah.
So in studio, ladies and gentlemen, if you're wondering, we're hanging out with Maxoba. I had wished we were meeting under different circumstances.
That's true, man.
I even forgot how well this man sings. There's one thing I always do to him. When he's here, we have to do it.
Can't believe you.
I just, let's do this.
The O'Neill Africa Experience, the home of African talent.
Let's see.
This.
He knows this. He knows this. Hold on. We have to do it. I don't know if you're happy with the key.
What keys? If I'm not happy, I'm gonna stop halfway.
That's fine. Just do your thing.
Can you give me more music in the cans there?
Oh yeah.
Where is it? Lately I've been thinking something's going wrong. That you got an attitude and you're not in the mood like you used to. Girl, I can feel it when I hold you in my arms. The feeling is not the same. And I'll be the one to blame. I don't wanna lose your love, no. Said I don't wanna say bye-bye. Oh, no, no. True love is so hard to find. And it's right between your lips and mine. And mine.
Go. Yeah.
You got me this call. Like, you got me this off.
Do, do, do. Yeah, he was 4 bars early.
Before I let go,
let you go away.
Baby, can I get
a kiss? Good night.
Baby, before I go, can I get a kiss? Good night.
I let you go away. Can I get a kiss?
Oh, yeah.
Good night.
You're right. Listen, baby. Turn the lights down low. Let's take it nice and slow. My mission is to keep you mine. Don't want this to be the last time, babe. We'll make sweet love, baby. I know you feel it too. It's bigger than the both of us. There's one thing I'm so certain of. I don't wanna lose your love.
Wanna lose it?
Ha. I don't wanna say bye bye.
Wanna lose it?
It's always the little things. I remember that I can't just let them slip away, slip away before
I let you go,
baby.
Can I get a kiss? Good night.
I don't see no problem if I can just get one little bit of kiss,
before
baby.
Before I let you go,
I just wanna away. Let you
can
get
I get
away.
A kiss? Good night.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Before.
Listen,
Teddy, won't you? Teddy, won't you?
You have the worst backup vocalist.
Hey, but at least I have. At least I have, you know?
Just understand, it doesn't matter how many times you do this interview, you'll always do this song for me.
This guy, like.
Because I have not had anyone capture Dave Hollister the way this man does. Yeah.
Even with a burnt voice, my voice is. Yeah,
no, you're amazing. You're a true talent, bro. Listen, you've got a new. Is it a new single? Asambeni.
Yeah.
That means Let's Go, right?
Yeah. It's new. Actually, it's a couple of months new.
Okay.
And I finally decided to shoot a video for it. I haven't shot videos in so long, man. Like, apparently, you know. I think I need to start just shooting videos, you know, and just collecting stuff. You know?
But to me, it sounds like there seems to be a method to your madness because, yeah. I mean, here you are. You're surprised that you haven't shot a video in a while.
Yeah.
Any other artist, that would be part of the structure. Like, I'm recording music, then I'm going to shoot him. Yeah. So there's clearly something you're doing right.
Yeah, man.
And you are obviously, your approach is very radical. Yeah. And you don't really respect the principles of what the perceived industry is doing.
Yeah.
So why don't you hold master classes then? Because I feel like the industry...
Yeah.
Is in desperate need of people like you.
Like a different ideology.
I think we need a completely different approach.
It definitely is that time. I mean, from a musical perspective, how you approach music. I've been in studio with yourself.
Yeah.
Your approach is completely fluid. It's, when you're in studio, you are present.
Yeah.
I mean, today was the first time we actually sat down and I heard how you're approaching the business.
Yes, sir.
And that is a completely, it's a new approach. It's a Max Sober thing. Yeah. So that I completely agree with what you're saying. That a masterclass is needed.
You're right. Look, man, like I think for a while, nah, you guys won't believe this, you probably think I'm lying, but for a while I've been dealing with the fact that I'm shy. Like,
you're shy?
Like,
Joe. Like,
give me the mic.
Let me
out of here.
Give me the mic. Let me sing. Right?
Okay. Okay.
But let me go speak. Like, even all the events that I've emceed at.
Yeah.
Like, I always make sure that at least I have a keys. And maybe something, so yeah, I can break into song. Should I run out of shit to say? I'm gonna sing all of that.
It's like, you know, creatives, the ones who are really excellent at their craft,
yeah,
are afraid of the exposing their persona, exposing what's in their mind.
Yeah.
And because most of their time, most of their brain power, most of their emotions are invested in the creation of music and not being famous and public speaking.
Yeah.
So we need that we need that vulnerability. We need for you to...
Are we not confusing nerves for shyness?
No, it's not nerves, man.
So you're shy?
It's not nerves, no, bro.
Really?
Like for real. Like if I walk into a room full of people that I don't know, I'm China, it's a problem. You know?
So, but you did mention that generally you're emotional beings.
Yeah.
You are extremely sensitive to energy as creatives.
Yeah.
Well, look, I think there's so many ways. I think the nice thing about today is that there's so many ways in which you can package your master classes.
Yeah.
Or whatever content online, you have.
You know, so the past 2 days I've been listening to a lot of the stuff that Jabba did, like in terms of interviews and all that, you know? And he keeps saying he's not finished. He still needs to do whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And I look back and I'm like, dude, like, you've done so much.
Yeah.
And that has told me then to get the fuck up my back, you know, and go and do, like, the kinds of things you're saying, like master classes. Because there's a lot that I'm like, very hesitant to do, you know? Because I'm like, ish, people... I think that's why I also, like, kids really have already tweeted on Naga for a while, you know? Because I just felt like a lot of negative energy. Like, should you try and say, come up with an idea, instead of that idea being dissected, the message is then, it's gone that way, you know? And you then, I remember, because I also have an addictive personality, so the minute I discovered the likes of Instagram and Twitter, my eyes were always just on the hand.
Yeah, listen.
And then
I mean, all of
why are people not liking? I was like, okay, you see, now I'm gonna go crazy. So let me stop this thing, you know. So I've then decided with two of my friends, actually childhood friends, Tebo Homoloto from Jazzwax, and Lebo Muchudi, you know.
Oh yeah.
So we grew up together in Velcom, and we decided to start now doing workshops, because the three of us, we've honed certain expertise within the industry. You know what I mean? Tebo is the most beautiful person to work with in a studio environment. I think there's very few people that don't get comfortable around Tebo when it comes to doing the actual work in studio. You know what I mean? Lebo Muchudi is a prolific writer.
Mm.
That kid, too, like back in Velcom, whenever we'd do like rehearsals, we had a group called Mood Swing. Someday we might release something. Yeah? So whenever we do like Mood Swing sessions, you know, this kid is there with his history book, and here we are thinking this guy has written some dope ass track.
Yeah.
This dude is just reciting his history books through melody or rapping it, you know?
Wow.
And he's like, actually, Jens, can I test it outside? So I was just get right out of the right song. I'm like, gonna sign.
That is amazing.
So he's been that's good incredible. For that long, you know?
Yeah.
And with me and the little bit that I know from wherever, I was like, guys, like, we can put something that's really dope together, you know? Something that's not structured according to... I call this a right brain system that we live in, you know? The system we live in, and the education system is designed for people of the right brain. So creatives, hardy.
Yeah.
Yours is a hobby, you know what I mean? The real... where we need to invest is in the mathematics and in the accounting and in the... And you forget that actually, through creative work, there's so much you can change in society. If you teach people how to think creatively... That math, we could knock it out the park.
Yeah.
That accounting would knock it out the park. That science, that whatever. As long as you can just be able to teach people how to start thinking creatively around their spaces. And the electricity is gone. Now all of a sudden you've forgotten that there's candles. Yeah. You've forgotten that there's paraffin go garage in there that you can go buy. Like, so we, I think if slowly we need to just start shifting.
Cultivating the culture of critical thinking. But that's another thing. It feels like society does not create room for critical thinking, because people who are critical thinkers are seen to be arrogant.
Yeah.
One, well, although there are some cases, there are some clear cases of arrogance, but a lot of the time it seems people are, I don't know if it was Dave Chappelle who said, today's society, they come across as though they can't wait to get pissed off.
Yeah.
Like, people are so ready to get pissed off. Before you even finish a sentence, people are pissed off.
Yeah,
you understand? We got ourselves caught up in this analysis paralysis.
Yeah.
And we can't seem to get out of it.
I mean, it comes from, sorry to interject, the issue with the society we live in. We live in the information age. There's so much information coming at us the whole time. And the biggest battle now is actually time to reflect and just like be away from the streams of
discernment.
That is the biggest challenge that we as a society have, you know. And
we're not able to as you're saying, to take time out. We don't process things anymore. You know, we and when we get happy for you, trust me, man, we're happy for you in order for us to be mad at you. That's the thing.
That is insane.
And going back to what you were saying about Ore, people reach out, you know, when they have mental illnesses or they have financial problems or they're having family problems. But what we do is we are so used to being dismissive.
Yeah.
You know? Even at a time where there's no need to be dismissive. Yeah. There's no need to hold your own opinion. It's not
like
about
you can't
opinion,
be funny. You know, you can't be funny now.
You know? And that's why now a person that was ready to put it all out and seek help.
Yeah.
After the first 2-3 lines that they say, and then you say, "I will go to wash hands now, let's go have a beer."
Yeah.
Then I'll never say it again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'll never speak of anything that bothers me again to you. And then whenever tragedy strikes, then you say, "But why wasn't he saying it?" No, they were saying stuff.
Yeah, we just don't pay attention. Yeah.
And we've got this. I feel like we've got this urge to all be famous, to all be through social media again. And I'm not painting social media in a bad light. I think we need a lot of social media management, if anything, you know. And Tina, you know, there's been a time where we had a certain focus, which was our focusing on the struggle and to free our people and whatever. Once we've gotten that, it's okay, now what do we do? Now we still feel the need to have to carry that energy.
Yeah.
That bad energy of wanting to prove somebody wrong, wanting to destroy
the militant
somebody.
Energy.
Yeah. You know? And we use it now against one another. You know? If 37 says to me, "Hey man, I have a joint for you," guess what? I'll be like, "Hey man, nowadays I charge." Like, dude, we haven't even started working on the joint.
Yeah.
You don't even know what it is about, you know?
Yeah.
I'm now like, "Ay, Bahlan, if you're not baby Zhang, pump the cheese. If you're not cutting
the cheese up,
or cutting the check."
Yeah, cut the check.
Dude, like, how many times, how many musicians do you know that actually still do music because it's music?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't.
No. Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Look, I think what we need to do is the minute you abdicate responsibility, you create this us and them dichotomy. You are completely saying, okay, I'm no longer responsible for my behavior or anything that I do. I actually share the responsibility for that which affects me with everyone else. Then you are not fully committed to dealing with your own issues.
Mm.
And I think this is the same thing applies to social media. You mentioned social media. I don't think there's anything bad about social media. Yeah. The problem is that because it has come in, now we're using it as an I don't know, a scapegoat.
Yes, going back to your point again. Yeah. What are we finding something else to blame for?
So it's social media now. My responsibility, it's no longer mine. I shared with everyone else. I can always do this. But in the process, you're neglecting your own growth.
Yeah.
Your own healing. I mean, the minute you're going through a physical issue, an emotional issue, that is limited to you. The minute you go on social media, you realize you have to get away from yourself. So meaning you're moving away from your emotional or your consciousness. It's almost like you're leaving consciousness in order to be in this superficial space. Yeah. And the thing is, the memes also, they're so contradictory. Because now people think information is healing. It's how you process information that ultimately leads to healing. Yeah. You can get as much information but all it is just, it's words. That's all it is. Yeah. It's words until you manage it within yourself and you apply it to your life, then it provides healing of some kind.
Yeah.
And there's this deep lack of understanding, yet so much arrogance from us, because we feel like we are, I don't know, invincible, because we've got the world at our feet. We can do anything we want. Meanwhile, we are sad.
And this is when we're going to come crashing down if we don't speak to one another and try to help one another to get into, to be real, man. You know? Like, to speak of real.
Let's listen. More than anything, you know, just pay attention. Yeah. Listen. Just create time to listen to what somebody say. And more importantly, try and hear what they are not saying. Because communication is very complex as well. Not everybody has the ear to hear certain frequencies. So I think not only do you have to listen to your friends, but pay attention to what they are not saying. Because the key thing is in what they are not saying. I mean, if we take case in point with what we've been discussing, if we had such a huge figure, an iconic figure in the case of WHP, who was very open about the struggle, his struggles.
Yeah.
We all heard him. Well, we all heard him, but maybe we didn't hear what he was not saying.
Mm.
Why? Because we got caught up in our own little cocoons of the need to be right all the time.
That's so true.
And we missed the whole picture in the process.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, I think we've covered just about.
Yeah, man.
This is why I wanted you here. So you can bring some sanity to what's going on out there.
I'm so appreciative that we've had you on the show. Thank you so much for your perspective.
Yes,
I really, 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 really respect you even more than I did before because of the brilliant and amazing things that you're doing around the world.
Yeah, man.
And my gift to you is these words, a quote by Steve Jobs, that people are crazy enough to think that they can change the world are the ones who actually do.
That's true. So please, man, package those sessions, those workshops, those master classes.
Yeah.
This is the time. Here's a great opportunity. What are you doing this weekend?
This weekend, Joe. So I'm finishing off a joint with Brian Temba, actually.
A joint as in weed?
No, I wish, man. Okay. That dude don't smoke for nothing.
Okay.
No, so there's a song we started, so we're completing that.
Okay.
I'll be going home to the Free State. We're burying so many of our own people.
Oh, man.
So, I'm going home to the Free State tomorrow to go bury another friend. And then it's preparing for next week for my show at Afro Brew. Next week, Thursday, 1st of November.
Yeah, I saw the flyer.
Yeah.
Talk to us about who else is featured on that.
Okay. At this point, I can't really say, but I'll say the DJs. Got Dawn Design coming through. There's another boy from my hood, Kunopo. But I'll be there with my band, and we're gonna be carrying you through a 2-hour show. I'm presenting you some of the music that I'm working on for the coming project, some of the music that I've done in the past and the current albums, and definitely going to be doing a tribute set to Java.
You know I'm a fan, so there's no doubt in that. I'll always be a fan, so I can't wait for that album.
Yeah, man.
And can we do that gin? Like, I'm tired. I'm really tired. Like, guys,
you know what? Today would have been a perfect day, but then again.
What?
8 down. I have to be on air. And I can't go on air with...
You can't compete with this man.
No, man.
People must know. People deserve to know. I've been trying to have gin with this man. The last time we had gin was at that place in Rivonia on deck.
Yeah. Oh, snap.
Yeah, that was the last time. Not even. And then we said, no, look, we're going to commit to something to this day.
Yeah. Levels, guys. Levels. Yeah.
So what are you doing this weekend, Mr. 37MPH?
Taking my daughter to a thing in school. She's got a school thing. It's almost that time of year. Kids need sunshine.
Yeah, the concerts,
they need to wrap up things. Yeah. They'll be riding bikes. It's some kind of superhero thing.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah. Actually, my son is doing. They're doing like the cut box.
That's exactly what they're doing tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, so there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much what I'm doing. Sunday, I'm at church. I'm playing in the morning. That's it.
Okay, guys, thank you very much for doing this. Remember, everything you heard here today will be available as a podcast. Much love to my guests from today, Morgan Heritage and Anyiko for helping us get Morgan Heritage. But more importantly, Max Sober for coming through and sharing your perspective. I think it was much needed. It's been very gloomy. And we needed some sound wisdom.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. Yeah,
brother, so we'll catch you again next week, Friday. Please make sure you download the podcast. Here's a brand new one from Max Sober.
Thank you. Asam Bene. Thank you. Ending a humble.
This is CliffCentral.com.